Hey Jono, summertime, beach. Are you taking any time off from your computer?
Not really. We have plenty to do this summer, as you know.
Yeah. The life of a freelancer, right?
Yeah, right. So hopefully we'll have time to enjoy the sun, but we are going to stick at our desks in order to produce more content for you guys listening to us. And thank you again for listening to the podcast during your vacations.
Exactly. And I can't say thanks enough, man. Every single person who downloads the show, much love and respect. And today's show, and hopefully you're listening to the show somewhere on the beach in the sun, is Toto Castiglione from NetGuru. He's a product designer, awesome designer, who is currently, he's still Italian, but he's located in Krakow, Poland. What do you think of the conversation, Jono?
Yeah, that was really interesting to have a foreigner like us, who is working in a software house in Poland, giving his insight. Obviously, we focus on Polish and Central European designers, but I do think that the insight of somebody who immigrated in Poland is a very interesting one to share.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity here. I mean, I can say the same thing about South Africa, right? Sometimes when you live in the country, you're born there, you forget about the great things that are there. I can say the same for Poland. There's so much energy, so much cool things happening here. And you have to kind of appreciate that from time to time. And it takes someone with a different accent to sometimes point that out. And talking about accents, right, I think this was one of the tougher shows. There was a South African, and then there is the French guy, and then we had the Italian guy. But still, I think the conversation was worth it. It's about crossing borders, crossing design boundaries, looking at different disciplines. And it was just a beautiful culture mix. And it was a pleasure doing this show with you, Jono and Toto. Much love to him and the NetGuru team. And then without further ado, here's Toto.
Hello, everybody. My name is Toto Castiglione. I'm 36 years old. I'm a designer since I am 24 years old, I can say so. Of course, I didn't start as a product designer in my career. My career started as a graphic designer working for a printing project and also video and animation. My education is an artistic education, as I graduated in the Fine Art Academy in Italy, and I follow up my studies in Spain. And the way that brought me to be a designer and a digital product designer is really, really long in the years, and it had many pivotal moments. Many struggling, and today I can say that I'm a happy designer working in a nice company doing what I like. Yeah, I will tell you more later.
Excellent. Toto, thanks for that introduction, sir. And also thank you for joining us. Thanks for making the time to do this interview while you're on the road. So usually what we ask our interviewees, right, is what is Toto's value proposition? You know, why does a business want you with them, or why does a client want to work with you?
Okay. Of course, I have many hard skills that make me a professional that I am today. But I think that my biggest and most important qualities are more human rather than professional. I think that what my stakeholders and teammates appreciate of me is my ability to adapt to the situations, the most different situations, my ability to empathize with both clients and my teammates, and a sort of gift that I have to be able to always see the big picture around any problem. This is kind of something that comes from my education, but also I think from my culture and how I've been educated in the family. And of course, I think that also pragmatism is one of my, I guess, and most important skills.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And also, you mentioned something about the culture. So could you elaborate a little bit for the South African when you say like it's kind of something in your culture?
Yeah, basically being born in a part of the world that is Sicily, that has always been in the middle of many historical events, even if today it looks like a lazy place to spend your holidays. The cultural influence of many different parts of the world, from North Africa, North Europe, Eastern culture, is visible and tangible in daily life and in the behaviors of people. So being growth there, I think has been a big advantage for me to be open, always open-minded and open to accept diversity. during my career path. And I cannot deny that I think that this is sometimes the key for being so adaptive in many different situations and contexts.
Excellent. Thanks for that insight. I had to ask that. Then we know that you're a designer, right? So why design? Where did it all start?
Okay. As I told you before, my education is artistic. I studied fine arts. But at some point during my last year of the academy, some switch clicked in my mind and I understood that art was not something for me. Actually, I lost kind of faith and love to art because when I've been participating to some official events and exhibitions and fairs and so on, I started to see how all the tricks and bad things that are behind this world. And I really didn't like it. And actually, I started to feel that art was something directed and targeted to a really small part of people in the world. And design was kind of much more democratic, much more open to the daily life of people. And this kind of approach about solving real problems, solving communication problems, was something that really fascinated me much more than art. So at this point, while I was studying a new media, a new technology in 2004, I think in Spain, I started really to be close much more to design, animation, video editing, movie making. And I think this is where everything started. This is the point in my career where everything started.
Excellent. And then in the next little section, we'll deep dive a little bit more in the depth of your design skills. Over to you, Jono.
While I was in your portfolio, I really noticed one thing. You have a very wide range of design skills. In your portfolio, there are UX processes and also delicate UI animations. So what is, for you, the most challenging part that a designer face in order to create a great user experience?
Yeah, let's start from the diversity of skills. This has come from the fact, of course, that I changed it, I switched it. My career path many times during the years. As I told you, I started as a graphic designer, working on printing and stuff like that, and communication in an advertising agency. Then I had experience of 3 years in a sports broadcast channel, managing a team of crazy, creative animators and motion graphers.
Nice.
So there I acquired my hard skills about animation technique and graphic emotion. And also my soft skill about managing really talented people. And when it comes to apply these skills in my nowadays work, I think the hardest part is to keep simplicity and to remember how I solved a similar problem in the past. Because sometimes it's so obvious that problems have already happened in the past in a really similar way. And it's so easy to forget about this daily moment that happened in the past that it's really, really hard to say, okay, let's keep distance. Let's see how I did this in the past in a similar situation. And let's see how I can apply my learning in my daily challenge. And of course, keeping simplicity and try to make an interface as simple as it can be without unuseful and too much aesthetic things, it's the hardest part. Sometimes someone is in my work, I'm tempted to focus too much on the appearance rather than functionality.
Thank you for sharing that.
Making it pretty and trying to get it functional, there needs to be kind of a balance in that, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the hardest part about being a product designer or UX designer nowadays. There is a lot of noise around, a lot of distraction about how great design appear in the social networks and the creative sharing platforms. That is hard to keep focused on the real user problem and issues.
Exactly.
So this is also a challenge.
And the thing is also, I mean, it's funny that you mention it, that I kind of latched onto that, right? Is the one thing that I'm struggling with, that I'm thinking a lot about at the moment, is that I come from a world where We really think about conversion and very functional user-centric solutions. But then, you know, you start to sometimes move away from the aesthetical, like the beauty. You know, you have to kind of strike that balance. And I think it's like it's ping-ponging at the moment. It's either like super functional or it's like you go to Beyonce and you see this thing is never going to ever work, right? Like you have to kind of find that balance between.
Yeah, because from one hand, you need this kind of aesthetic touch to keep attention on your work, because browsing on the internet, the eye needs something appealing. But on the other hand, the real life, real problems, real clients are totally far away from this approach.
Yeah,
there are so many constraints, so many compromises that during your design process you need to achieve that is really, really hard than to respect one-to-one your ideal vision that you had in your mind. So it's not easy to keep that balance.
I think the key word you said there is compromise. I think sometimes when we're in university or in art school, they don't really teach you that you're going to have to go into the big world and find ways to compromise. And sometimes that compromise is like when you get together with another party, like both parties leave the room unhappy, right? That is a great compromise has been found. So like sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and that's part of the game we play.
Yeah, yep. Actually, I can say that finding this compromise is the hardest part, especially when you are working with tech team and client that have completely different need and completely different perspective.
Yeah.
Here, the role of designer is kind of really political, I would say. And in the same time, here is the moment where an experienced designer can make a difference.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. You're one of the... I mean, we've had this topic pop up in the show a few times where it kind of naturally goes back to the designer being the pivot point or the point where there is... he's the one that facilitates the compromise. And I don't know if you agree with the statement, because we had one or two people say to us before that the experienced designer actually uses his ability to connect with, in quotes, users on the team and on the client to find them or to facilitate the connection between them. So it's like a designer is like also the, I mean, I always mess up this one, but the psychiatrist of the team in a way.
Exactly. And this is something that I think that can not be taught at school, but you need to learn in the real world with the real clients and real context.
Thanks.
You mentioned earlier that you manage a team of animators, and there is something about motion design that seems to be one of your focus. Now I understood better. There is a sentence from Jen Wos that I know you enjoy that says, 10 seconds of animations can help convey a new idea in more effectively than an entire 30-minute meetings. What can you tell us about this and the place that animations have in modern design systems?
Of course, animation is kind of additional superpower that especially product designer and user interface designer have nowadays. It's something that in the past 4 or 5 years was not so common to find. And nowadays it's kind of must have in the skill set of each designer. Simply because animation helps to quickly transmit ideas to all stakeholders in a project, right? Often it's really hard, even if you have a step-by-step storyboard, to transmit a smooth process to tech team or to the client. And it's really hard to get your idea accepted. When instead you give such direct tool as a short film, a short movie about micro interaction, a transition between screens, this gives you this superpower to cut out the unnecessary talking and explanation and go straight away to the point. And of course, this helps a lot your proficiency in communication and sharing specification ideas with everybody. Sometimes sharing a short video about how screens or micro interaction should work can save you a lot of work and meeting and talks about your design?
Yeah, it's weird that you talk about it because a while ago, someone asked me to show a few examples of what I thought was prototyping tools. And for me, video was one of those tools. I mean, not necessarily maybe interactive, but video or doing small animations is such an easy tool to actually just show interactions and get the conversation going around those interactions rather than having static screens or anything that people don't have to kind of interpret things for themselves.
Yeah, that's right. And moreover, today it looks like there is a rhyme to the space about the perfect tool to create such animations, such prototypes. And at Guru, we have a dedicated team exploring new tools that allows designer to create animation and fast prototyping. And we are continuously experimenting to understand what's next. So there is a bunch of great team that every day read an article about a new tool released or what's coming next about for example, the new Framer tool in Vision Studio and Principle, how to use After Effects and some plugin to translate sketch design to After Effects. It's kind of a world apart, and I think it's becoming a real field of specialization about digital designer. I think that sooner or later we will have new designer role that will be interaction designer rather than user interface or UX. Will be a little bit different from both roles.
Yeah, there's a definite kind of evolution happening at the moment. It's either leaning over to the more strategic side or either trying to combine things. And I think it needs to be a bit more lean, right? Because you can't have like 10 million people on the design side on one team. Talking about that, it leads me to the next question because you mentioned NetGuru very briefly. I'm going to combine two questions. Is that from your design experience, what are some of the key things you guys or you do or try to facilitate at NetGuru now today? And then also, is there any favorite tools or go-to stuff that you turn to? So let's say at a Google Design Sprint or Lean UX, is there something that you kind of hang your hat on and then work from?
Okay, I think the biggest challenging in these terms is to keep the workflow consistent in our team. As our team is really big and growing so fast and a lot of new people coming in and a lot of people leaving, it's really hard to keep the workflow consistent between us. And the handover between designers sometimes is a pain point that we are trying to address every day, updating our process and trying to share knowledge. Let's say that personally, my set of tools, as I'm not really a workshop guy, even if I like and I'm able to do that, but at the end, I'm more a project guy, let's say. My tools are more software, like Sketch, Principle, Framer, After Effects, and all the Adobe suites. But I can say that I'm using less and less Adobe Suite apart from After Effects.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of all a lean approach. I'm a big fan of lean startup methodology. I'm trying to educate any clients to this approach of quick delivering and the fast validation loop. And of course, then at NetGuru, we have different people taking care of different things. And of course, Google Design Sprint is one of our core that service that we adapted to our internal needs. So we have a NetGuru Design Sprint.
Okay.
But it's based on Google Design Sprint, of course, as a base, but we made a diversification for different kind of clients.
Excellent. Okay. I like that.
You just mentioned that you're a man of projects. So may you share with us one or two of the favorite projects that you worked on lately?
Yes. Sure. I had a lot of projects in the last 2 years at Google, honestly. It's hard to keep the most interesting one, but I can maybe say that Helper is one of my favorite. Helper is a platform founded 1.5 years ago by a group of friends in London. The scope of the platform is to provide healthcare for elderly people in a smart and more efficient way. especially in UK, and I think it's a common problem in all Europe, the care of old people is becoming a big problem. Helper is a platform that facilitates the marketplace and trying to give the right professional to the right people. Yeah, okay, everything today is a sort of Uber, I know. But this is really, really similar. Basically, it's a geolocalization-based application that gives you a picture of people that can help your family member to get quality cares in an accessible price and velocity. And another project that I'm really proud of, it's Harimata, that was my previous experience that I worked before NetGuru. It's a Polish startup that created an algorithm, a tablet-based technology that helps parents and medical professionals to diagnose autism in an early stage in kids. Through a game, tablet-based game, following movement patterns of the kid, it's able to diagnose with 95% of accuracy every sign of autism in kids. And this is kind of something that I worked hard with the team for more than 1 year. And now they are still testing and validating and trying to work with universities. Yeah, and they are doing a great job, actually. It is one of the most interesting startups in Poland nowadays.
It's great. And also, like a little side observation before we continue to the next section, it's that, I mean, as designers, we do a lot of banking applications and all kinds of functional things that have their place in the world. But I find it interesting that when I speak to experienced designers and I ask them about the work they've done, it's very natural to go to a project that has made such a difference for someone. And I can hear it in your voice. It feels like, I mean, you do the stuff, but then you love to also work on projects that have a little bit of a social or kind of a broader community impact.
Yeah, that's true. I think because this comes from the fact that every designer is a dreamer, no? Every one of us has dreamed to design something that could change the world in a better place. And of course, as you said, a banking application or solving daily problems, but I don't think this is something that will bring the human being forward or a step forward. Instead, doing something that really helps people that are suffering some pain or have a social impact is something that will remain forever in your background and you will feel proud of it.
Exactly. I think there's an insight there because I think sometimes as designers, and I use again designers in quotes because I think anybody can be a designer or everybody has a element of design in them because we create things, is that as much as you're talking about the good stuff we create and how you could take ownership of that, we should also be careful not to disconnect ourselves from the responsibility of some of the work we do that might have a negative effect. And that's the power of design. But then to change the world, we need leaders. And Toto, you're one of those leaders, my friend. And we need to learn from the design leaders. So you are currently a team leader, a mentor. What has been some of the challenges to adapting to this role as a leader? And also, what are some of the positive and negative aspects that you've experienced in this role thus far?
It's not easy to be a leader of other younger designer or less experienced designer, especially in a big organization as NetGuru is becoming. There are daily challenges that are, it's a really wide range of challenges that come from personal development and motivation to much more delicate and complex personal problems and conflicts that in an organization can arise. It's a work in progress from my side. I'm learning a lot. I don't think I'm still a good leader, let's say. I'm trying to be, of course. Sometimes I can feel and I have doubt about the fact that my decision can be wrong. And this really can burn or really affects in a bad way a talent that can be a really important resource for the company. This is a role with a lot of responsibility. But I'm taking it with a smile. I'm trying to be always positive and honest with everybody and trying really to listen and trying to think, okay, what I would think if I was him or her in her place or in his place. The fact of having 10 years of experience also being a father helps me in this situation now, because it's really an educative process. Sometimes you really need to choose the word, how you communicate information to people. Yeah, it's not easy. I can say it's not easy.
Yeah, it sounds like you're designing your role, sir.
Exactly, exactly. And again, there is no school for that.
Yeah,
I learned something from my previous team leader and my current, because also today I have my leader, and I'm trying to take the good things from them and their action, trying to replicate and give my personal touch. Sometimes it's very good, sometimes less good, but I feel that I'm learning something important in this process.
That's brilliant.
So NetGuru has been growing at an exponential rate, and you have become one of the face of the company, right? You represent NetGuru during conferences, you write articles. So what can you tell us about the practical challenges of being a designer in a company that is growing so fast? Because you have constant onboarding with new designers coming in, constant new projects. So what can you tell us more about that?
Well, first word that comes in my mind is crazy, no? Sometimes it's really crazy, and it is not a place for everybody, I think. Many people leave for this reason. Many people join us for the same reason.
Yep.
It's really challenging, but it's extremely fascinating. The fact that you have to continuously adapt and change your skin and learn something new and go back and adjust processes and trying to share knowledge with the new people, it's extremely nice experience and extremely challenging, extremely educative. What I can say more, it's something that you must be born for, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's what I liked about what you just said. It like ticked something in my mind, is that it's not for everybody, right? And I think sometimes we apply for a job because it is just a job. You actually need to see if you're a right fit for the company as much as the company checks if you're a right fit for them. Because if I listen to what you're saying, is that it's like in the old days when I was in an advertising agency, right? You kind of buy into that lifestyle. That's what you're excited about. That's what makes you tick. And I find that you're saying the same thing, is that if you're going to join NetGuru, that's a crazy, awesome, rewarding experience for someone. And for some people, it might not be because it's of the way the system works.
What's nice also here is that you can really shape your career. You have a lot of freedom about participating to the changes that are happening. And the inclusive culture of the company is so evident that everybody is extremely motivated on participating on that. And there is this kind of ability of the company to adapt and change the skin and change the process that allow you also to sometimes take a rest and let's say, okay, I'm enough with this madness. I make a step back. I go back working for my clients for a couple of months. Let's give space to someone new or some new ideas. And then someone else come and take your process in his hands, communicate with you from time to time to ask opinion, how to handle some situation. And then maybe you can come back to that process and give, again, a fresh perspective. And I think this kind of protective environment that you have, so that you feel safe giving your creature or the process that you were working on to someone else, it's a really good thing for a company, and one of the whys why people is so happy to work there.
Excellent.
And it's really hard to find someone that is not happy about that.
And it's interesting you mentioned this, is that, it seems there's quite a distinct culture. Were you and any of the designers involved in shaping that culture? Is it something that just happens organically, or is there some intention behind the culture?
Sure. I think the strongest point of NetGuru is about making everybody responsible of something, small or big. And when you feel part of an engine, even if you are a junior person or a recent newbie, giving this sort of feeling to people allows everybody to have a positive attitude, because you have the feeling that you are working with your teammates for the same goal and the same target and objective, right? And also when something bad happens, everybody has this perception that if something bad happened for something good at the end. So there is really not blame culture, and we are trying to learn from mistake and take quick action to fix these mistakes.
Great, thanks for sharing.
Excellent. Now, Toto, I would like to talk about your origins. So you're Italian, and you lived in several countries. You live in Italy, you live in Spain, and now you're living in Poland since a few years. So based on your experience as a designer, is there any difference between being a designer in Italy or being a designer in Poland? Or is it the same?
But there's one question, Jono. Like, that is a valid question. Let's hang on to that. Toto, don't forget. But then also, how did you end up in Poland, dude?
You can start with that, right?
Like, I'm sitting and I am busting at the seams to understand why. It's like, how Poland? And then what do you see the difference in design in Poland and Italy, for example?
Okay, I think life is everything about opportunities and decisions that you take in front of these opportunities. I got opportunities for personal reason to move to Krakow. And yeah, I took the challenge. I say, why not? It was 6 years ago. And I decided to move to Krakow. And actually, it was like a professional shock for me. First of all, for the amount of talented people that are in Poland, and especially in Krakow. So the competition in the market is really, really high. The fact that it's Poland is so crowded of young and enthusiastic people makes it really hard to emerge somehow and to cut your small piece of market on that.
I'm so happy you're saying that. Sorry, I'm chipping in again, because someone asked me before, like, Vanna, why Poland? And I said to them, like, there's like so much talent here, energy, hunger to do stuff. And the fact that you're echoing that same thing vindicates me a little bit. So thanks for that.
Yeah, it's true. No problem. And actually, it's something really opposite from Italy, for example, where it's much easier, I think, there to be a designer.
Yeah,
because I think the industry, it's very, very different in general. I don't know why. It's really easy to get kind of recognition if you are good and to get your role in the design community. When I moved to Krakow instead, it was hard for me to get accepted, let's say, by the market. Also because my set of skill set, was not so, let's say, good for the market needs. Krakow, especially, is such a place full of startups, and the tech market and the UX, UI designer requests is so high. And my skills were really a little bit far from this set of skills that was required by the market, right? So my background was, as I told you before, artistic, then print and more traditional graphic design, and then more motion graphic. And I had really to pivot my career and say, okay, let's now change, starting something new, and let's adapt to survive, right? Yeah, it was hard for the first 2 years because I was basically new in this new world. So I started again to study and learn from other people. And then step by step, accepting compromise, working sometimes for some friend for free just to learn how to design an interface, how to change more common UX problem, gave me this basic experience to apply to some more serious project. And then I started to work with many startups, and then I landed at Google after I gained enough experience.
Man, that's inspiring. It's like just putting in the time, like changing from one field to another. I mean, it doesn't sound like you bother too much with limitations or boundaries, like cross them.
Yeah, and I think this is strictly connected about my previous experience living in such a place like Sicily, Italy, that it's kind of melting pot of cultures. We have Arabic influence, Norman influence, because in Sicily we had Norman domination. So Vikings living in the Mediterranean islands. We had Spanish and French. Now we are Italian. So this kind of real mix of culture is in our DNA. And this allowed me to adapt in any situation in my life, I think.
That's brilliant. Much respect for that. And so you're not going to leave Poland yet, right? Are you like me and you're kind of glued to Poland now?
No.
Excellent. Great stuff. So now, now we're going to relax a little bit. We have this funny little thing that we always do in the show, and we challenge our guests, is we call it the story challenge. We have a deck of cards that, I mean, I'm sure you appreciate being an animator and a storyteller yourself, Doro, is that storytelling is very important. And what we do is we're going to ask you a small question that I've drawn from this deck of cards. And then it's up to you to either tell a fake story, a true story, or something. It doesn't have to even be related to the topic of design or to this podcast. So, Toto, here comes the question. Can you tell us about a story about a time when you broke a rule?
Okay, I think that I'm a rule breaker when I'm in a difficult situation.
Uh-huh.
I can. It's an hard question because I many times broke some rule. I have this kind of anarchist spirit that I try to keep hidden to the eyes of my colleagues, but sometimes it came out, right? So I can tell you a story about a previous company that I was working in. We had this rule that we could not take initiative with new clients, bringing them into the company. Okay. And these people really contacted me and they wanted to work with me. And I actually knew that was not the case to wait for all the bureaucracy in the company. So to get with talking with a salesperson and then start to work with these people and blah, 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 because this person was really, really in an urgent situation. So I basically start to work after hours for these people. And meanwhile, preparing with them storyboard and the brief and the screenplay of the animation project that they want to do with us. And then in the meanwhile, all the bureaucratic process in the company about acquiring the client and so on gets started after a few weeks. So when the client started working with us, with the company, they had half of the work done by me for free, just for the willing to accept the challenge and work after hours. I mean, it can sound kind of nerd, but was kind of hard to keep the secret and working after hours, get tired with this client. And then actually then all the whole company was pleasantly surprised about the fact that the client had so many things already done. And it was really, really much appreciated by them.
Yeah. The experience that I take away from my time here in the corporate space is that sometimes you let the rules and quotes paralyze yourself. Like you paralyzed by your assumption that the rule limits you to do stuff. And sometimes it's like, it's not really breaking the rules, but it's taking initiative and you can make a difference when you do that. That's interesting. Thanks for sharing that story, Toto. Jono.
Now, to finish, we would like to talk more about you. And the first question will be, who have been your most influential mentors?
Okay, actually, I had a lot of mentors in my life, depending from the professional period of my career. I can mention one of my greatest friends, that is Jose Tejada. Is of course one of my best friends, but was the first person that really introduced me to design world. When I was studying in Valencia in the School of Fine Arts, he was the one that really opened my curiosity to the design world. Especially, he's a great illustrator and great art director, and I think it's thanks to him that now I became at the end a graphic designer, because I really admired his work and his talent, and I wanted to become a little bit like him, even if I'm really different, because he's really more an illustrator rather than tech designer. And then another friend that is Gianluca Scuderi. That is one of the greatest motion graphers that I know. It's a really crazy guy that studied with me outside the university. But if you go and check the quality of his motion graphic piece, it's really amazing. And the fact that Gianluca grew and stayed in Sicily and grew professionally there, it's a factor of admiration for me, because he reached like an international level just coming back and working from Sicily. And then nowadays mentors are Mateusz Czajka and Bartek Białka, NetGuru, as they have been my mentors and leaders in the company. And they still inspire my daily work dealing with people and dealing with hard situations.
Yeah, I made one or two of the guys at Product Development Days. I mean, the NetGuru guys. It seems like you guys have something good going there, and that's really... That's really good to see. Then, Toto, I hope I don't catch you out now, but are you currently reading anything? What is your favorite book? What are you currently reading?
Okay, I will be honest with you. I read for relax, so I enjoy a lot reading about novels and narrative.
Yeah, sure.
And one of the things that really beaten my heart, and it's Elena Ferrante's book. It's an Italian novelist, contemporary Italian novelist that wrote 4 big books about the story of a friendship. And I read these 4 books in 2 weeks. It was awesome. Unbelievable how it took my brain out. And then for more professional point of view, I'm reading right now, I'm almost finished it. It's a book written by an Italian industrial designer, Chiara Alessi, that is the niece of the guy who designed the Bialetti coffee machine.
Oh.
An iconic Italian design element. And actually, she's writing about the end of Italian design icons. How is it possible that Italy didn't produce any design icons in the last 30 years, when in the previous 30 years, we produced so many of them?
Exactly.
Just think about the Fiat 500 or the Vespa scooter or the Bialetti coffee machine, Castiglioni lamps, or any other iconic Italian.
Yeah, such a rich culture of design. I mean, I recently read... the books by Roberto Vaganti, that the one is Design Driven Innovation, and it talks about Italian design and what you could learn from that, you know, against, let's say, design thinking and that kind of stuff. So there's such a rich culture there.
Yeah. And this book is really interesting because it analyzes like the rise of the symbols and the death of them. And there is a really nice anecdote in the book when our former prime minister met Tim Cook from Apple. And you know, usually in this occasion there is exchange of presents, and the former Italian prime minister gave to him a Bialetti coffee machine, and the guy from Apple gave him the last iPhone X. So there was this kind of contrast between a really contemporary icons and a icon of the past. And it's really interesting, really funny to read all these anecdotes and facts about Italian design.
It's so rich, man. I'm sitting here smiling. Like when you brought up the topic, it's really, you know, when you're in the world of design and you kind of reference some of these old designs and you go and look at some of the work that's done in the past, it kind of really inspires you to move forward. Now, Toto, we need to cut this short, unfortunately. I know you also need to get busy on your side, and I can't thank you enough for spending some time with myself and Jono. If people want to follow you, want to know a little bit more of the work you do, or just want to stalk you online, where can people get hold of you?
Twitter and Dribbble are the platform where I'm the most active. Or if someone wants to follow me, these are the place where they can find my last work or communication about my last activities.
Excellent. We'll post links to those in the show notes.
Thank you.
Psst. Hey, Jono. I know we're done with the show, right?
Yeah.
But we have to mention Product Development Days.
Right.
It's in October, right?
Yes. It's pretty soon.
And we will be there. running around with a big giant microphone.
As usual.
As usual, right? So Product Development Days is coming up in October. You can go to productdevelopmentdays.com if you're interested in designing and developing products and looking at things from a technology or a creative or an experience perspective. Great conference in Krakow. There's a 20% discount for early tickets, early bird tickets, so don't waste any time. Grab it with both hands and come see myself and Jonathan do our thing at Product Development Days.
And in the meantime, talk to you in 2 weeks.
Good night.